Hello and welcome to the More Confidence with Luna Gaia podcast. I am your host, Lunaria Gaia, and here we talk all things body image, self-esteem, your thinking and your mind. How do you connect true to you in every part of who you are? I want you to know that all of you is welcome. So sit back and relax and listen to today's episode. Sending you love. Well, hello there and happy 2024 to everybody here. Woo! Happy New Year! Welcome! Welcome to 2024. Goodness gracious. It feels like, I don't know, to me it feels like 2022 was last week. Like yesterday, it feels like that was the last year. It was 2022, not 2023, and we're in 2024. It always takes me a little while, I think. I really believe that the new year doesn't start till about February. February. It doesn't start till February. And it concludes at about November. I think we actually have 10-month years, and January and December are write-offs, I think, for the most part. Nonetheless, welcome. It is January. We are here. Have officially made it into the new year, into our new kind of stuff. And, you know, today's episode, like I've been talking about for the last couple of episodes coming into this, I'm going to teach you how to create sustainable change. Because so many people at this time of year are like, yeah, New Year's resolutions and new year, new me, and it's a fresh start. I'm going to go do the things. And hey, you know what? If New Year's resolutions work for you and you are able to set goals and targets within yourself and that you set that and you do that and it makes you feel great, stop listening to this podcast episode right now. Really, you don't need it, because this podcast episode is really about people who kind of get a false start in any new year. You feel the pressure, right? This is almost like an antidote to the pressure of you have to create something new and all that pressure to be something different. You know, like it's all those goals that we set that then we just end up disappointing ourselves. I did this for years. Because you're listening to the More Confidence with Luna Gaia podcast, right? I am your host, Luna Gaia. This is episode 167. And I'm talking about change that actually works, creating change in 2024 that actually works. Because here on my podcast, as well as all the work that I do, I'm really here. It's the place where you can reprogram your old thinking. Because it's your old thinking, right, that is keeping you stuck in most of the paradigms that you're experiencing right now. You think you can't, so you don't, right? And you have lots of negative thinking. Maybe you have lots of self-doubt. Even you have a little bit of that and you just want life to be better. You just want to improve yourself. You just want to expand. In any case, there's things that are holding you back, and this is the place that you can come to let those old thinking come to the surface so that we can reprogram them. And I'm using the word with volition here, reprogram, because most of us are cruising around written by a manual by no less than a seven-year-old, right? We have a mind. Most of our thoughts and our beliefs about the world were created when we were under 10. And we've never really reviewed that to look back and go, well, does that work? And what about that? And where did I get that belief from? So this is the space for us to really unpack all of that, have a whole bunch of fun, and maybe, actually very much so, learn to love ourselves. Be more confident, be more self-assured, learn about boundaries, learn about ourselves, man. And from a space of love, from a space of compassion and kindness, you know, and humanness, realness. I just see this happening all the time across many different coaching platforms, personal development, spiritual development. We're not real. We're pretending as if we're not freaking human, right? We're pretending as though, okay, you come on here and you're looking at this whole scenario that I've set up, right? This is what my office usually looks like, admittedly, right? This is not a set. This is my background, but I've set a camera there and I've put the lighting on and I've put a pretty dress on and I've done my hair, right? I hope that you recognize that those are things that have been done. Had I not been coming and hanging out with you on a podcast here today to come do this thing, I would be probably cruising around in a baggy, daggy pair of pants because they're super comfy for me. And I'd be wearing a baggy, daggy t-shirt likely. I have my hair up behind my neck to get it off my face so that I could work. And I'd be typing and writing and creating and doing all the things that I do. If you've followed me in any way, shape or form across social media, you would see that that's what I'm all about. This is real. This is human. This is also real. Like I'm here. I'm here wearing a dress. I'm here wearing a makeup. I'm here in this room. This is all happening. It's real life. This is not fake. It's not false. But what we need to understand is that we are human, which means that we have a multitude of different sides to us. We wee, we poo, we fart, we hurt. We know everybody hurts sometimes, right? When we can take off the pressure of ourselves to think that we have to be freaking perfect all the time, you'll see over here there's a book, my book here, Perfectly Imperfect. That's my first book there, Amazon number one bestseller, to be able to help you love yourself and love your body as you are right now, because you are human. Which means you make mistakes, which means that you are fallible, which means that you have expressions that aren't always frickin' perfect. It's kind of the point. We already knew how to be whole and complete when we came here, depending on what you believe. We already know how to be like one with all. We just came here to be human. We came here to feel and experience. And I want you to know that no matter who you are and where you're coming from, I love you and that all of you is welcome here, right? I want you to know that. How can I say that without maybe knowing who you are? Well, easy, because I think people can easily hate people and judge them without knowing who they are. So I can love you and welcome you without knowing who you are. Same deal, right? Because I know that you're human and I know that you're a soul living on this planet who's just looking for more happiness, who just wants to get out of the misery of what's in your head and to free yourself. But if that's the case, you're in the right place. This might not be the episode for you if you already know exactly what you want to do for 2024, or you don't care and you know how to set resolutions and you'll just go do the stuff. If you want an alternative, then let's hang out and talk about all of this. Let's talk about it. Let's really unravel it. You know, this is what happens every single time we get to this time of year. It's in the lead up to, in December. It happens all throughout January. And it's this new me, new year, new me thing. And you know what? There's a big part of me that actually quite likes it. I think that there's a nice refreshing point of it's a new day, it's a new week, it's a new month, it's a new year. We do psychologically get a bit of a set point. It feels better. Right, to go, I'll start again Monday, I'll start again in the new year. Just like I've alluded there too, that people have this tendency because we wait until the new year to create change, then that's the only time, and that puts a hell of a lot of pressure on us. And I want to demystify what actually happens. How can we create sustainable change? We want to be inspired, not motivated. People get really motivated, particularly around this year. I'm super motivated. Yeah, I'm signing up for the gym. I think the highest rate of gym memberships is in January, and most of those do not sustain throughout the rest of the year. Why? Because people are super motivated. And you're usually super motivated after Christmas because you've probably eaten far more than you've needed. You've enjoyed it, right? But you're probably a little bit rounder. And maybe you feel like you want to get in shape, and enough's enough. And you're motivated. Right, and it's good as time as any, if not better, to go, cool, I'm going to make some change. And lots of people have different offers. You know, it's the new year, so the gym's opening up and saying, come try the gym. It's going to change your life. But nothing changes if nothing changes. If you don't go to the gym, if you don't use the gym, if you are not actively being active, then nothing is going to change for you, right? Inspiration is internal, inspired. Right, it's an internal experience. It's in inspiration from in within, in spirit, right? Inspiration in spirit. It's an internal motivation, right? I know that I just used the word motivation there, but it's an internal driver. Motivation is external, and it could be like, I'm broke and I want more money. I'm fat and I want to be less fat. I'm single, I want to be married. You know, I'm unhappy, I want to be happy. And typically, the circumstances in my life aren't working for me. I want those to change. This is what people usually do. I want the outside things to look different, including my body, and I'm motivated. But what happens, for example, let's take weight loss, because that tends to be often people's, certainly was mine for a long time, kind of one of the go-tos in their years. just say you want your body to be different, right? Weight loss or not. Maybe it's weight gain, maybe it's muscle gain, whatever it is. You want your body to be different. And you are motivated because when you look in the mirror, you see something that you don't want to see, right? And as you maybe your body starts to create change, you're like, cool, I don't want to be a size 16 anymore. So you become a size 14, for example, or your motivation goes away, right? Or your pants get a little bit looser, or you lose a kilo and you think, yay, cool, your motivation can easily slip away, particularly when stuff in life gets in the way, like there's more important priorities. And throughout today's conversation, I'm going to show you how to create inspiration inside of yourself rather than it being motivated by some external dangling of a carrot that has to keep going and driving and pushing. When it's internal, it's a driver. It just becomes who you are. And then that lends itself to sustainability. Because what most people do around this time of year is look for quick fixes. So again, I'm sorry, and I'm probably going to tell you to not, tune into today's episode of the podcast. If you're looking for a quick fix, I'm not your gal. It doesn't mean change can't happen fast, because it does and it can, absolutely. Particularly the internal stuff and what I'm going to teach you today. The quick fix, it does not create real sustainable change long term. So what ends up happening, the New Year's resolution is that you get really motivated, you're looking for the quick fix that you think is going to last forever. You can sustain it for maybe a week, a month, 3 months, and then you peter back to who you were before, and you're super disappointed with yourself that you weren't able to create that change. And so instead of you being super motivated, now you're unmotivated. You're actually less motivated than you were before. You feel down in yourself, you feel worse, and you're more likely to just say if you have, just say you wanted to lose kilos, you're more likely to put those kilos back on and more because you haven't created the habits inside of yourself, inspiration to make the change. And so you'll just be like, oh, screw this, pass me the donuts. That makes sense? Or whatever it is for you. I'm not saying that that's what you need to do or what you should do or whatever, just that that's a good example of what people do it, particularly at this time of year. So to create sustainable change in our life, it begins with a choice. And it's a choice that we need to keep making. That's why I said it begins with a choice. I think that this is really important that it begins with choice. We need to keep going, understanding that choice needs to be made on repeat, and it will be made on repeat, my friends. If you go, yeah, I'm going to the gym today, cool, that's a choice that you made, go do it. What about tomorrow? What about the next day? What about 3 times this week? What are you committed to? Right? It continues to be a choice that you need to make daily. Maybe forevermore, right? Kind of like, I don't know if you ever heard, but when it comes to love, people say that the relationships that last a long time and that are continue to be loving is that like we have to keep choosing one another again and again and again. It's not like choose you once at the beginning or when you get married and yeah, I know I've chosen you for the rest of my life. No, it's ongoing. It's a choice that we keep making on repeat. Because that's what creates a sustainability around it. Yeah? Cool. So let's have a look at why the old way, that quick fix resolution-y kind of style of goal setting does not work. And let me be really clear, it can work in the short term. It can. And look, I've done it so many times in my life, can I tell you? And I'm going to use weight loss as an example here because in my life, if you've followed my stuff, if you've read my book Perfectly Imperfect, if you've followed any of my journey, you would see that for a long time, like I've lost and put on 20, 25 kilos about 5 times in my life. And just say the first 4 times that I did it was always like, I need to lose 20 kilos in 3 months, or 4 months maybe, like 20 kilos in 20 weeks. A kilo a week seems reasonable. Hustle, hustle, drive. I've got my formal coming up, or I'm sick of being fat, so I have to do this. And I would practically starve myself for that period of time, like really put myself under some pretty serious conditions that eventually led me to an eating disorder. Over the course of when I was 16 till my third, like early 30s, or probably late 20s, we had disordered eating and eventually led me to bulimia because I couldn't shift the weight in my mid 20s the way that I did in my mid teens. And I was so disheartened with myself that I'd failed again. And so the thing when we look at for a quick fix of like it has to be done now is that it creates a sense of urgency within us that is unsustainable. It's based on willpower, it's motivation. It's not inspiration. It's not from internal, it's external. I don't want to be fat anymore. It hurts too much. I don't want to do it. It has a short-term focus on it. So for me, every other time that I had lost weight, it wasn't I'm going to change this for life. It was just I'm solving the problem that's immediate in front of me. I'm fat and I don't want to be. Right? That's what I was thinking at the time. I'm fat, I don't want to be, go on a diet, because that will work. But as soon as I'd lost the weight, and as soon as 3 months was over or 4 months was over, and I had been miserable for that period of time because I was not eating enough and just depriving myself, restricting everything that I ate, of course, what happened? Yay, I'm skinny now. I ate all the food again, right? Like, and then over the next, 6, 12 months, what happens? Put the weight back on. This happened for years for me. Oh man, I'm fat again. Better go on a diet. It's short-term thinking. Rather than it being, I need to change me or the processes forever, it's short-term. Like I said to you before, it's also external motivation. It's not an internal experience. It's out there. It's, I'm fat, I don't want to be. Right? That's a very, very, very different thinking. I'm fat, I don't want to be. It's very different thinking to, I'm going to nourish and look after my body. See that? Even if you're going like, I'm broken, I don't want to be, that's very different to I want to learn how to invest, or I want to learn how to multiply my money, or I want to take care of my money. That's very different to I don't want to be broke, or I want to be rich even, I want to be skinny, whatever it is. They're very different motivations because one is motivation and one is inspiration. I'm going to get to that in a moment about this identity piece that people need to shift in order to create real change in our life. The other thing with this kind of New Year's resolution style of goal setting is that it's usually extreme. Yeah. It's get it now. It's get rich quick now, right? It's lose the weight now. It's go to a place where you are getting it very immediately. And look, I love the guy, and I don't know if he says it anymore, but I remember Tony Robbins used to say, take massive action. Never leave the side of a decision without taking massive action. And in my experience of being in those conferences and seminars and that kind of stuff, when people take massive action, like the massive action, when things are done quickly and extremes and it has to be done now, it's unsustainable and often catastrophic. An old mentor used to say to me, nature teaches us everything. You can look around nature and find out everything that you need to know. Think about any kind of natural disaster, a tsunami, an earthquake, volcanoes, hurricane, anything like that, landslide. When change happens quickly, really, really fast in nature, it is destructive. Very often, it's destructive, right? And it completely changes everything so quickly that it disrupts everything else. It's destructive and disruptive. It's both of those things. And so, to me, small sustainable change over a period of time, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, is actually far more gentle and creates far more change in the long term than anything massively ever will. And look, I get what someone like Tony is saying. He's sort of sitting there going, you've got to do something. Get off your ass. Make a change. Make a commitment. Do something. This is not an excuse, the way that I talk about it, to be like, I'm not going to do anything. Right? But this idea of extremism is of you're going to lose 20 kilos in 3 months, Luna, or 4 months even. That's a kilo a week. And just to give a bit of maths on that, I just want to show you a little bit of maths that I've learned over the last probably 18 months, which I didn't know all those years ago, because I all those years ago when I was wrapped up in diet culture, I then opted out of all of that for a long, long time and didn't look at any of any of diets, any of that kind of stuff until about probably about 18 months ago, August, September, October, November, December. Yeah, probably about 18 months ago, 16, 17, 18 months ago, where I was like, huh, I'm not taking care of myself. and I want to take better care of myself. That shift happened for me, and that's going to be a good example to use here. But what I've learned in that period of time as well is that the idea of losing a kilo of body fat a week is extreme. Back then, I never thought it was. I thought that was totally reasonable to lose a kilo a week. It's not. In order to lose 1 kilo of fat in Australian terms, well, even let's go with calorically from calories, you have to be 7,700 calories in deficit, which means that you have to have, like, for every kilo of body fat, it's 7,700 calories. That's what it is. Now, considering that most women eat about 2,000 calories a day. Can you do the maths? If you need about 2,000 calories a day to maintain your current weight, then that's 14,000 calories a week. Is it sinking in yet now? That means that if you were to lose 1 kilo a week of fat, you don't want to lose muscle, you don't want to lose water, you don't want to lose bone density. If you want to lose 1 kilo a week of fat, that requires you to cut out over half of your weekly, which means daily, caloric intake. You would have to literally be eating less than 1,000 calories a day, week on, week out, in order to lose 1 kilo a week. That's miserable. It's miserable. And you're starving yourself, quite literally, 7,700 calories to lose 1 kilo. So that hopefully puts it in perspective for you, something like that, that this kilo a week, this idea that it's extreme. We are far more likely to succeed if we lengthen it out, which is why, doing it this way that I'm about to show you here, when it's internally driven, right, it comes from an inside source, it becomes lifelong. It's not this short term, got to do it in 3 months. When you got to do it in 3 or 4 months, I know you're miserable and you want the change right now. But if you only do what's short term, in the long term, you're going to suffer. You're just going to go back. You're just going to be in a yo-yo like I did, right? And this applies to any other goals. I've got to get rich quick. Got to find a boyfriend fast, whatever it is. Without actually doing the inner work, what ends up happening is that you just go back to your old ways. It's too fast. It's too much. It's too soon. So doing it sustainably means creating lifelong. Like, so for me, over the last 18 months, it's been like, right, cool. So I want to continue to be at my healthiest and most abundant health, right? I want to continue to really take good care of my body, which means not being on any kind of extreme diet. It means that I get to have pavlova at Christmas. It means that I get to have a glass of bubbly in New Year's, or a bottle if I feel so inclined. But the majority of the time, I'm making sure that I'm looking after myself. I'm not eating 1,500 or 1,200 or 1,000 calories a day, starving myself so I can get to a certain goal weight, because that wouldn't be taking care of my body. Notice the difference here. Losing weight is motivational, right? But taking care of my body and health is inspired from within. It comes from that. It's not extreme, and it's certainly not short term, because surely that's forever. Surely I want to keep nourishing my body and looking after my body as best as I possibly can forever while I have it. Surely it's not just I want it done in 4 months and then I can just go back to doing what I was doing before. No, it has to be a lifelong change, and then that way it's sustainable. In the diet mentality, and I want to call New Year's resolutions like they're usually done, it's diet thinking. I'm not talking diet just like from a food perspective, but that's what it is. It's like quick fix, get it done now. So in the diet mentality, it's fear-based. It's totally fear-based. It's lack-based. So for me, all those years, it was like, if I lose weight, then I will be happy. I'm scared that I'm not going to be happy. I'm scared that I'm not enough. I'm afraid that I'm a loser. So I'm going to lose the weight so I can not be a loser anymore. False and rooted in fear. But when we switch to a belief that says, I'm going to take care of my body and I'm going to look after my body and do what's best for my body, right? To lighten the load of it so it doesn't have to carry such a heavy burden all the time. And I'm going to help it me be strong and full of nourishment. That's an act of love, right? It comes from love rather than based in fear. It's starting to make sense? Love it. So what most people do in this diet mentality is they go, what do I want to have? Well, I want to have this kind of weight. Right. So they go, sweet. Well, what do I have to do? Go on a diet. That's what they do. That's what happens. They look at what they want to have and they go and do the thing that they think that they need to do. And that's as far as it goes. And it's not particularly sustainable. What the model that I want you to move into, and the questions that I'm going to leave you with here today for you to really think about changing for your 2024 here when you want to set goals or outcomes or any of that kind of stuff, is we kind of want to reverse it and add another piece. When people go, I want to have this, what do I have to do? There's a model called be, do, have. Most people do have and do. And they forget entirely about who they're being. What's the thinking? What's the inspiration? What's the drivers? What's the beliefs? Because way back when I would go on a diet, I wasn't thinking about who I was being or what thoughts were going through my head or what beliefs I had about myself. There's going to be a, and there was a, and continues to be as I unravel this within my own thinking, there were lots of reasons why I was holding on to weight. And it wasn't just because of what I was eating. About the need to feel protection, that I don't feel safe enough to be seen, that I feel like being a woman in society, I need to live up to some kind of expectation. So I'm trying to be perfect and trying to keep it all together, but that's manifesting in protection. Maybe I'm scared that men are going to assault me, so I need to be bigger. Maybe I'm scared that women are going to judge me and call me a, you know, a skinny bitch and don't like me when I'm smaller, right? All of these things come from the being. And that being is going to impact our doing, and our doing impacts our having. So if we're only playing in the having and the doing field of this, then we're missing out on the biggest and most important chunk, which is our being. So as you go into 2024 and maybe setting any kind of goals or anything that you want to do here, anything that you want to create change around, I want you to really think about who you're being. Who do you need to be in order to do what you need to do in order to have the result? Right, so you want to know what result you want to have, but then go immediately back to your being. You want to know what you have, what you want to have, but go back to the being of who that person is. If I want to have sustainable health and wellness for the rest of my life, which is what I do, that's what I want to have, right? Who do I need to be for that? Ask yourself that same question. Because without the being, no change lasts. Right? No change lasts at all. That's why I died on yo-yos the whole time. It can't possibly be sustainable because we haven't changed the driver that's internal. Because as soon as the weight came off, I went back to who I was before, who I was being, right? It was temporary. It was just a quick fix. So we want to change who we're being. So get really clear on who that you need to be. It's be, do, have. It starts with being. Who am I being? And then what I want you to do is get really clear on your why. If we have a big enough why, the how takes care of itself, right? What is your intrinsic, internal driver that is wanting you to have this? And before I went on any kind of deliberate, intentional kind of weight loss experience over the last 18 months, I spent months getting really clear on why. And I say months because of the nature of my work, because of the fact that I teach body positivity, because I am all about self-love. For me, I needed to get, personally, I felt like I needed to get super, super clean on it. It could not be about me trying to live up to some kind of beauty standards. It could not be about me trying to get more love or worth. I had to be really clean on it for myself because of the kind of role model that I know that I am to so many of you. I didn't want to do it for any reason that was tainted by any of the old ways that I used to think, right? So I got really clean on this. You can do this pretty quickly. Figure out your why. You know, just say if it is weight loss, do you want to be able to, you know, play with your kids? You know, like, because being able to fit into a swimsuit and be happy at the beach sounds really cool, and it could be, but you could do that right now. You can do that right now. This is about going, so for me, if you're curious to know my why, is that I now see my body as a vessel of my soul, right? And this gift of this vessel, it has been gifted to me, and I want to take really good care of it. So that means that I'm going to work it out. It means that I'm going to stretch it out. It means that I'm going to get plenty of sleep. It means that I'm going to eat well, right? It means that I'm going to do my best to remove the heavy burden that is existing on my body to help it. It's an act of love. That's my why. So, you know, it's not a matter of like, oh, I really want the donut. It's not about that about me at all because I'm not on a diet. I can eat whatever the fridge I want whenever I want to eat it. Is a donut or many donuts, for example, taking care, good care of my body? Probably not. So the decision becomes really easy. Who am I being? What am I doing? What do I want to have? Right? Because, you know, if I continually make, you know, decisions around having donuts, for example, or just overeating in general, like eating too much, right? Too much of good things as well, right? If I'm eating too many calories in my day, then that's going to put weight on my body and that's going to put more strain on my body. It's an act of self-love. Who am I being and what's my why? And like I kind of suggested to you before, small, consistent, incremental steps are way better than being over the top. They're way better. They're more sustainable. You may have heard me speak in the past on different podcasts or if you've ever hung out with me in any kind of sphere about my commitment to playing piano and learning Spanish. Now, my commitment to those two things is 10 minutes a day on each of them. I show up for it. On many, many occasions, I'll do 45 minutes, half an hour, an hour. I tend to do a lot more than 10 minutes, but when I'm buggered, I want to make success easy. If I think that I have to do an hour or even half an hour or even 20 minutes, if I have to do that amount of time, when it gets to the end of a really busy day and I haven't been able to do it yet, I'm not going to do it and I'm going to be disappointed and my consistency is going to break and I'm going to break my promise to myself and I'm going to be disappointed. We are far better off going, cool, I only have to do 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 1 minute. I only have to do it for 1 minute every day. And that commitment means that you're keeping your promises, you are showing up for yourself. It allows you to get success under your belt. It's not extreme. It's gentle. And what that actually does is create a habit. Oh, I'm just going to show up to the piano every day, no matter what. And I do. You know, obviously, if I don't have access to a piano, I don't play it. And while I was in my Vipassana meditation and my phone was locked in a box for 12 days, of course, I didn't do my Spanish. I did both of those things in my head at different points, though, right? Because it's who I am now. It's just what I do. I've been practicing Spanish every day for over 3 years, and I've been doing piano for over four. You know, it's just because who I want to be. It's who I am now. It's the same with the food. It's the same with everything. Small incremental steps will get you further than anything else. Yeah. And if you want help on any of this, know that my coaching books are open to the end of this month. Right, there are only a few spots left in terms of that. I only take a limited amount because you get full access to me. So if you are curious about one-on-one coaching and you'd like to apply for that, you know, just go to moreconfidence.com.au, fill out the details there, let me know you, or just be in touch with me on the messenger or whatever. You know, just find me on the socials. Claim Your Confidence Level 1 and Level 2 are my signature courses. So if you don't think you're like, oh, I don't really want to go full in into the coaching, but I would like to get some more tools around this and all of this stuff, the thinking, my fears, my emotions, learning how to set better boundaries, having better communication, finding out my true passion and purpose. If you're interested in any of that, these courses will be coming out next month. So they are available now. Enrollments are taking now. Well, they will be very, very soon at the very, very least. So get in touch with anything that you need. As always, if you've gotten value out of this and these episodes, please go leave me a rating on whatever platform that you are in. I'm not doing that because I want to boost my ego. I'm doing it because that actually boosts the quote ratings of the show and then therefore more people get access to it. And I'm on a mission to help more people be happy. That's what I really want to do. Starting with me, flowing on to you. I love you and I hope that you love you too. See you next time. Thank you so much for listening to the More Confidence with Luna Gaia podcast. I hope you feel more confident, more self-assured, and ready to go tackle the world's problems and maybe kick ass in some of your dreams. If you haven't already, I would love for you to like and subscribe, follow, and maybe leave a review so that other people know how to find this awesome podcast too.
If you're wanting to sink your teeth into something even more juicy, my number one best-selling book, Perfectly Imperfect, Your Complete Guide to Loving Yourself and Loving Your Body, is now available on all good bookstore sites, both in print, digital, and I narrated it for Audible as well. If you think that coaching or maybe one of my courses is for you, why not head to www.moreconfidence.com.au and get in touch and see if we can talk. And of course, you can find me all across the social medias. That's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube, which is where you're probably listening now, or maybe even here on the podcast platform. Sending you big love and wishing you a beautiful day.